Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to week two. Are you excited about week two? That's good. We're in the book of Haggai or Haggai or Haggai, depending on which way you pronounce it. All are correct. Haggai is one of the 12 minor prophets. We said that, and it has a powerful story for us today. If you weren't here last week, let me give you the backstory to the main story of what's going on in the book of Haggai. Ever since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve was born and God created the world, people have started well and put God first and then just drifted. And we talked about drifting last week, how we put God first in our lives and then all of a sudden he drifts and he becomes second, third, fourth, and other things take priority over God, where our focus changes, our worship and service changes, our priority changes, and it drifts, and those things start to change. And from the beginning of time, we were to worship the God of the universe, but then we started to worship false gods, false idols, and lose our focus and focus on other things. And we kind of went through all of history, kind of really quickly through some of the highlights of the Bible, and saw how the people of God did this drift, did this thing where they took out God and replaced him with something else. So God had a plan to bless a nation, and he blessed the nation, and the nation grew, and he took over the promised land, and King Solomon, one of the kings, built a temple to God, and the temple was glorious. It was beautiful. It had gold in it. It had silver in it. It had all the stuff. It was a gorgeous, magnificent, grand design, the best building worldwide at this time, and it was a temple dedicated to God. If you wanted to meet God, you went to the temple of God, Solomon's temple. And in all of history, there hasn't been a building anything like this one, the temple of God. But of course, like all through history, the people, instead of going to the temple and worshipping God and having him number one, they drifted. And they started to worship false gods. So in 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar with the Babylonian forces came through, took out Judea, took out Jerusalem, took out the temple and laid it in ruins. God's temple now in ruins. 70 years pass, and King Cyrus releases 50,000 Jews to go back and rebuild the temple, to rebuild it. And they went back and they laid the foundation of the temple down, and they started well, they prioritized God well, but like in all of history, what happened? Come on, one person said that then. They drifted. They drifted. They lost their priority on God. They didn't put God first. They didn't have God as number one. They weren't rebuilding the temple. They were looking after themselves. Come on, Daniel had it. He knew what was happening. 14 to 17 years go by. Nothing. And God raises up Haggai. And Haggai comes to speak and says, come on, guys. The time is now to put God first. The time is now to put him in the number one spot. The time is now to rebuild the temple, his house. The time is now. And that is the title of our series for this last week, this week, and next week. The time is now. If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you guys. We love having you with us. Tell us where you're watching from. I can see there's a pile of people online, and we just love having you with us. And do you know, it reaches more than 400 views of our stream every week. So it's so exciting to know that people are tuning in and joining us via technology. And so we're lucky to have you. So if you're live online right now, if you're on demand later in the week, if you're listening to the podcast, yes, we have a podcast of the sermons. They're all there. You can catch up. You can go to YouTube and catch up from there as well. Or you're one of the amazingly talented and good-looking people in the room, welcome to church. It's good to have you. It is good to have you. Let's pray and let's get into this week's study. Father God, we love you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the fact that we have life and life to the fullest, that paradise was opened when you rose again from the grave. Through your death and resurrection, that same power that rose Jesus now lives in us, and we have lives that we would never have had before. So we just want to thank you that we live in your resurrection power, that we live in your strength today. Lord, do something amazing as we continue this study. Grow us closer to you. Teach us something, we pray in your name. Amen.
Once upon a time, there was a man named Solomon who built a mighty temple. But before long, the people of Judah turned away from God and began to worship foreign gods and idols. One day, God allowed the Babylonians to attack Judah and destroy the whole city, including God's temple. The people of Judah remained in captivity until one day, God raised up the prophet Haggai to inspire the people to get back to work, saying, "The time is now."
The time is now. I just want to ask you a question to kick off this week, and it's something that probably everybody in the room has done at one point or another, but I just want to ask the question anyway. Has anybody ever given up on something they've just started? All the time. So you had a go at something and gave it up pretty much straight away. Yep. There was a recent study that I read of that said 25% of people who sign up for the gym and go to the gym, after the very first session, never go back. 25%. One quarter of people that go to the gym and sign up, never go back. 50% of people who sign up for the gym after the first 6 months have dropped out. So they're the crazy people. We pray for them often because, you know, let's face it, why would you go? Like, if you've got a gym membership, I'm so sorry, but come on, people. Like, but I remember this time in college this is a true story, by the way. I'm not making this up. It just goes to show how dumb I am at times. True story. I was in college with our session, and there was this stat that came across in the college, and it was about self-denial time, that said that 60 to 80% of the world's population live on $2 or less a day. So, you know, for food. So they live on $2 or less a day, 60 to 80% of the world's population. So in a really rapid decision, a stupid decision, I decided to live on $2 a day for 30 days. Yeah, right? Come on, like... Right? Dumb decision, right? Right? I didn't prepare for it. I didn't plan for it. I just woke up one morning and went, "Today's the day," and started right there and then. Right? I know, right? I know. Day one, I got a couple of apples. That's about all I could get with my $2. And I think I had a little packet of just plain rice. So I ate that. But, you know, by the end of day one, my brain's starting to get a little bit foggy. I'm starting to get really hungry. You know, it didn't kind of look good. I was in a bit of a bad mood. By day two, I was had stomach pains. I was starting to confess sins that I've never confessed before. I was making bargains with God to eat food. You know, you name it, I was doing it on day two. By day three, I'm a I like to think I was a blubbering mess. Cow, ooh, nice. Day three, I'm a blubbering mess. I wasn't crying on the floor, but, you know, I kind of was not well at all. And I just gave up, going, it was too hard. It is like true story. As stupid as this decision was, and as silly as this example is, I remember the feeling of being discouraged. I remember thinking, I couldn't even get past 3 days, and there's all this world living this way, right? And so the title of my message today, if you're taking notes or you want to write this down or you wherever you're at, is how to deal with discouragement. How to deal with discouragement. So I'm going to teach a little bit today again, but this is where the people of God were at the time. I know, it's a cow. Let me see the cow. Come on, let me see the cow. Oh, beautiful white and black cow, everybody. Absolutely gorgeous. Go show Nana now. Go show Nana your cow. Got to find Nana first. This is where the people of God were at this time, right? Haggai comes to the people and he gives them this message. Rebuild the temple. Rebuild God's house. Put God first. And then Haggai has to go back a second time. We're going to check it out. So Haggai chapter 1 verses, we're going to start in verse 13, and then we're going to do 13, 14, 15, and then we're going to roll into chapter 2. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good. They're going to be up on the screens anyway, but if you're following along in your Bibles, remember between Zechariah and Zephaniah, so hopefully that was helpful, in the Old Testament, it's just two chapters, it's really tiny, but it's in there. Haggai chapter 1 verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. Say, I am with you.
I am with you.
Declares the Lord. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Verse 15, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. I love the fact that they date this, because it shows us something really cool in a minute, and we're going to look at the dates in a minute. But God tells them, what does he tell them? Go up the mountain, bring down the timber, build my house. What was it? Go up the mountain, bring down the timber, build my house, right? That's what God tells them to do. And they start doing it on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius's reign, right? I love it. I love it. God said it, they did it. Right? Good, yeah? Yeah, that's good. All right, let's keep moving then. We got that bit. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. This is 1 month later. 1 month. So we're going from the 24th day of the sixth month to the 21st day of the seventh month. Pretty much, it's 3 days short of 1 month, right? 1 month. 1 month! And Haggai's back. God sends Haggai again after 1 month. Verse 2. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, to Joshua, son of Josiah, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and ask them. Verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? 1 month goes by. We need to understand this. 1 month goes by. And the people do what God says to do. They went up the mountain. They grabbed the timber. They came down. They started doing the work. 1 month. And there's this idea that they've switched and drifted again. Because they had been working for a month, but then Haggai's come back and said, what does it look like to you? What does the temple look like to you? Does it look like nothing? So the people here are getting very discouraged with the way the progress of this temple is going. And they're going, and God says, have a look at it. Have a look at it. Does it not look like nothing to you? Like, God knows what they were thinking. Have you ever been in a position where you look at something and you go, there's no progress here. There's no, I'm just not getting any better. Like this is where the people are. They've gone from this positive, we can do it, to, oh, we're not doing it that well. Going from, we've got this in hand, God's got to do something, this is going to be amazing, let's build a temple, to, this is not like the last one. From, we got this, we can do this, like, to, nothing actually, this is not looking right. And you can just see that after a month, all their hard work and their focusing on the temple has paid out to nothing in their eyes. And all the work that they've been doing, they're comparing it to the former temple and they're going, it's nowhere near what it was like. That everything they were going through, and this drift then just starts to happen, going, what's the point? Because it's not going to be the same. It's not going to compare to the old one. It's not going to look like... And they got discouraged. There are two reasons why we get discouraged, ladies and gentlemen. Two reasons. The first one is this, comparisons. When we compare ourselves to something else. We compare what we have, or we compare what we don't have. Comparisons. The second thing that can lead to discouragement is lack of progress. How often do we get discouraged at things? Come on. We start thinking, what's that one now? It looks like a Tin Man. Go show Nana that one. She would love to see it. where we start something, and we think, oh, this is too hard, and we give up. Where we start to exercise and we start thinking, well, we're not seeing any results, so we just give up, right? Let me take this out of the way, temptation and all that kind of stuff. We'll put that up there. You know, we start to exercise, we don't see any results, so we just give up. We start well, thinking we've got this, and then we realize we're not as good as everybody else is at it. That there's always like someone better, so we go, oh, we're not going to be as good as them. We could say, you know, like there's people like Zoe who can eat. She eats more than I do, by the way. Can you believe this? And very quickly, right? I walk past a bakery. I don't even eat anything in the bakery, and I'll put 5 kilos on. Literally, by walking past, I'm exercising past the bakery, and I'm putting weight on. And she's just chewing, like. We can overlay this on a church context, though. We've been reading our Bibles for a month or reading, and we don't feel like we're growing as a Christian. We've been coming to church for a while, but we still feel like we're committing the same sins we were committing like last year. Like we get discouraged. Trying to do something, thinking and going to all the hard work and seeing no results and seeing no benefits and seeing that it's not working, that we're not that good at it, and we go, what's the point? And we get discouraged. Come on, have we been there?
Yeah.
Am I connected with anybody today? Yeah. We've been there. I've got to tell you this, and I want to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you and whoever's watching online? And just share with you something. And I don't want you to come to me later on and go, oh, poor Pastor Mark, I don't want that. I'm not telling you this for this reason, right? But every week when I preach and I get up here and I do what I do and as soon as I get off the platform, right, my brain goes into this idea of you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You should have said this. Mark, you're so stupid. Why didn't you follow your notes? Mark, why didn't you say this bit, but you said that bit? And so I live with this constant low-grade discouragement all the time. And I'm not telling you, again, for you to go, oh, poor pastor. No, I don't want that. I want you to come up. Like, I'm telling you because it's easy to go from you shouldn't have said that. Why did you do that? That didn't even make sense when you know, what are you doing, Mark? You know, you're kind of wandering around too much or doing this. And it's easy to think going, what's the point? It's easy to think there's people better than I am who could do this better than I can. It's easy to think that I can compare myself to other people and go, well, I'm not at their level. They're so much better than I am. It's easy to think, well, I'm not seeing any progress in the way that I'm delivering and in improvements and all the work and the study that you've gone to. Like, you should be better than you are now. Like it's easy to think these things and get fully discouraged and get into that mindset of going, what is the point? And I don't know about you, but getting into that, it starts to spiral, does it not? I've got some good news. I've got some good news for you today because God speaks to this group of people, the 50,000, the remnant that's gone back to build the temple, who got discouraged with their progress, who got discouraged with what was happening. God starts to speak to them and he has a message for them. And he has a message for us today too. Yeah? He says this is the good news. He says, but now be strong. Say, now be strong. The time is now, he's saying. The time is now to be strong. Be strong, Zerubbabel declares the Lord. Be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong. All the people of the land declares the Lord. And work. Say, work.
Work.
You see, if we're going to get through discouragement, if we're going to persevere through discouragement, we need to do two things. We need to be strong and work. Be strong and work. God is saying to them, be strong and work. Be strong and work. And he says this very next thing, for I am with you. declares the Lord Almighty. Be strong and work. Be strong. Push through. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep looking forward. Don't lose heart. Be strong and do the work. Go up the mountain. Grab the timber. Bring down the timber. Build my house. That's what he's saying. Be strong. Do the work. When we feel like giving up, don't give up. Be strong and do the work. When we're not seeing results in what we are doing, be strong and do the work. It does not say dream the dream. It says be strong and do the work. It doesn't say just talk the talk. You know, you've heard where they say, you know, if you just talk your way to what you want to be, well, talk is just talk. It says be strong and do the work. It doesn't say compare yourself to what is happening outside. It says be strong and do the work. Go up the mountain, bring down the timber, build my house, God says. For us today, it's like put another brick down, continue building. Right? It doesn't look like it's making any difference. It doesn't look like what you're going through is going, I know you're getting discouraged, but just put another brick down. I know it doesn't look like what you were expecting. I don't know. It doesn't. Just put another brick down. I know you're starting to feel discouraged, but God is saying, put another brick down. Be strong and do the work. And whether you're in business, whether you're in finance, whether you are a mum who stays home raising kids, it doesn't matter what space you're in, right? Successful people, right? People who have success, who have growth, who have successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Come on, that's so good. I'm going to say it again for you. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Normal people give up when they get discouraged. Successful people push through. Does that make sense? If we want a great walk with God, and we all would have a great walk with God, we need to sometimes just push through. Right? Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Successful Christians and churchgoers, let's really put this on ourselves. Successful Christians do consistently, what's the do part? We listen to God. We do what he says, right? We listen to God. We do what he says. We go up the mountain. We bring down the timber. We do build God's house, right? We do that consistently, what normal people might do here and there. Spat it around. I'll listen to God today, maybe, and then tomorrow it's a different story. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Paul wrote it like this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Be strong and do the work. Be strong and do the work. The work. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
Now say it like you actually believe that God is with you. God is with me.
God is
greater than he's greater than anything. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah? Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not even our strength that we need to be strong in. It is his strength that we need to be strong in. He gives us the strength. And the truth is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that brought him back to life, the same power that Jesus operated in to do all the miracles he was doing, lives in us. He is with us. He is with us. The same power. He is with us so we can be strong and do the work. Yeah? Are you getting sick of this line yet? Good, because I'm still going. I'm losing my voice, but it's all good. Verse 5. Because what happens next is just so amazing. So good. Be strong and do the work. This is what I covenant with you when I came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. In other words, there's another reassurance from God. I love how God just comes along in our discouragement and just hey, I'm with you. Don't fear. He's so good like that. He doesn't come, oh, you good for nothing people. I told you to do this and you didn't do it. He just comes along gently and says, hey, I'm with you. Reminds us that he's with us. That he's there for us. And so he comes and he just says, do not fear. I'm with you. I've got you. You're with me. I'm with you. Verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill my house with glory, says the Lord. Verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And don't miss verse 9, the glory of the present house, the one they're building, will be greater than the glory of the former house, the one they're remembering. Says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. This is just so amazing right here. It is powerfully amazing, this verse. I'll get the keys to come up. But the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the former house. This would have sounded crazy to those who were feeling discouraged. This would have sounded absolutely bizarre. Because they were looking at the foundations, they were looking at all the work and going, this is nowhere near what the last one was like. But we've got to understand that God in the Old Testament was picturing out for us what he was doing in the spiritual realms. It's a picture for us today of what he was doing. He was showing us something cool, right? And God drops it. This house, this one you're building right now, will be better, will be greater than the former house. You see, in Solomon's temple, the old one, what used to happen is we had to go to the temple to worship God. We had to go to the temple to find God. We had to go to the temple to make sacrifices to God. That was the former way of doing things. God was trying to show us that there was a time coming. He was foreshadowing a time when Jesus had come and the temple was going to be something completely different. And what it looked like to us in our eyes wasn't actually going to be the true picture of it. Because he was talking about when Jesus came and died on the cross and took our place in death, that we would then become the bricks in the new temple. That we would become the temple of God. That there was a time coming where we didn't have to go to a temple to worship God. We could worship God wherever we were. That there was a time coming where we didn't have to go to a temple to find God, but that God would send his son to come and find us. That there was a time coming where we didn't have to go and make a sacrifice to God because Jesus already made the sacrifice. It was done for us on our behalf. There was a time coming when the temple was going to be us. And the glory of this temple and the Holy Spirit living in us was going to do some incredibly powerful, mighty things in Jesus' name. Where it was going to be powered by the Holy Spirit worldwide. And wherever we are, the temple of God goes with. That is so much grander, so much more powerful, so much more out there than the original place. The temple, this temple will have greater glory than the last temple. You see, if we're feeling discouraged today, we need to push through, to not give up, to not let go, to not turn around and quit, but to go up the mountain, bring down the timber, build my house. Where we're strong and do the work. And it's tough to sometimes go through because we don't see the progress. And it's tough to go because we see so-and-so down the street is so much better than we are at it. You know, I was thinking about this morning that when I grew up, all I had to compare myself to was who was on my street. Now, I go onto social media, I've got to compare myself to everybody worldwide. And so it's so easy to see and get discouraged. And discouraged. And God's saying, no, don't do that.
Be strong and do the work. And I kind of sat here for a bit. And I know that God will never leave us or forsake us. And I know that He is our strength. I know that He is our King. He's leading us. He knows what's best for us. But how do I actually practically stay strong and do the work? And then I started singing this song again. Because I realized that the sources of discouragement is what I'm looking at. Comparison and lack of progress. And I realize if I don't look at that and I look at God, then it shifts everything. How do we be strong and do the work? We turn our eyes upon Jesus. Yeah? And then we can go up the mountain and we can grab the timber and bring that down and we can do the work. And look, don't get me wrong, there are going to be times where we feel discouraged. And in those moments, we've got to remember to stay strong and do the work. But if we turn our eyes upon Jesus, then staying strong and doing the work is easy. And it will get us through. And I get it. There are times when it's so discouraging that you just can't function. But I also know that if you turn your eyes towards Jesus, even in those moments, it may not be like that. It might take an hour, it might take 2 hours, but your focus will change and your discouragement will disappear and you'll get excited for what God is doing and what He has done. Yeah? You'll get excited about the lack of progress because it means that there's more opportunity to do stuff. You'll get excited that, you know, you're not as good as someone else because it means you've got more learning to do, more growing to do, and God can teach you more stuff. Like, it changes the way you see everything when you shift your focus to God. Let's get the singers up. Let's get the band up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go straight through to you. Like, this is such a song I use all the time, but it's such a good, simple song that reminds us to go back to Him. This whole book is about making God and keeping God in that number one spot. And it's easy, as I said, to get discouraged. But let's turn our eyes. And so if God is speaking today, if God is just laying something on your heart, if He's stirring something for you to do, then do it. Be strong and do the work. Keep your eyes on Him as you do that. Let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.